I think that would be the target for a lot of people here.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Suj.
My name is James, but we don't know that, Suj.
Well, I was going to say, my first question was, so you said to me, oh, you're going to mess up the intro. I was like, why? Do you know that they're raising the prize money to £100,000?
Well, I don't even know with 100% certainty if there's going to be a game, but I should assume that there's going to be a game. We've not had, there was some concerns a couple of years ago, wasn't there, that Sky Fantasy might get binned. There's been no suggestion of that. So I think we're good to go. I don't suppose the prize will increase. It might decrease. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. But also, by the time you get it, the deflation on the monetary value is always less. It takes them about a year to pay out anyway, to take about 5-7% off it. And, you know, we'll see what we end up with. So we have fixtures now, James, until the end of September, provisional, of course. But yeah, we basically know the television picks and we know what days, what games are going to be until the end of September. So usually, historically, before Sky upped the transfer count to 50 transfers, you used to play 4 weeks and then you'd have a forced overhaul period, forced wild card, let's say, if you're an FPL player listening to this for the first time. We have, in total, what we think will be 6 match weeks worth of fixtures. So before we get into having a chat about these fixtures, there's a lot of people that will be listening. I say a lot, who knows? That haven't played Sky Fantasy Football before, but maybe avid players of FPL or other fantasy formats who might find some of the terminology and some of the stuff we talk about a little bit confusing or doesn't quite make sense because it doesn't ally exactly as FPL does. For those, what should they do, James, do you reckon?
I'd probably recommend going back and listening to our intro pod that we did last summer. I'll copy a link into the bio. So for new players, if you want to have a listen to that, there might be one or two references to a player or two that's moved on, for example. But largely, we think it will be the same. Also, the game isn't open, so if anything does change, we don't know at the moment, right? But I felt it was worthwhile covering off the fixtures now because we've got them and because of some scheduling issues that we've got going forward. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get this in later on. And the fixtures aren't going to change now, so they're set in stone. So there's some guidelines we can put in place in terms of need versus want for the new players. It's a theme you'll hear a lot on our SkyPods this year. What do we need versus what do we want? And I think there's a big theme that's come out of this fixture announcement that has possibly already changed some people's thinking in terms of how they want to go about playing Sky Fantasy at the start of the season.
The thing is, obviously, as well, we don't know the price of any of the players. So when we talk about some of the fixtures, we're generally covering off teams as opposed to individuals. Though I would say, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, James, generally, there aren't that many Sky Fantasy Football surprises, like compared to FPL, where there might be, oh, these are particularly freaky. Last year, there might have been, a handful of players. I remember Lewis Dunk maybe being one and a couple of others where you're like, oh, that's an interesting price. But more often than not, players are kind of priced where we expect them to be with Sky.
Plus, your disparity in pricing is not so big, right? So Cole Palmer was basically the cheapest player in the game last year. At 6.5. And then up to your top price was what, 12 was it, Erling Haaland, I think?
Yep.
So your disparity between a 14 million in FPL and a 4 million defender, you got a 10 million range. Your range in Sky Fantasy is much smaller. Yes, it's more about can you find the, I mean, Cole Palmer was obviously a joke last year.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that again.
But the reality is, who started with him? No one. We didn't know how good he was going to be until and when we got into the season. Plus, obviously, you have the every decimal point price breaks and no price changes. So we'll get into the individual players from those clubs as we get closer towards picking teams. First and foremost, we're just looking at kind of where are the gains to be had and which are the clubs that we might be looking to start with. You said there's a theme, James, in terms of this need versus want. What is that?
Let's start with a question. It's from Martin Beasley. in response to my tweet last night. He said, Christ, let's get the Euros out of the way first, lads. And I totally accept that, by the way. And I think it's really important to say, if you don't want to listen to this podcast now and you want to revisit it in 3 weeks, I think you can, because I don't think it's going to be any different, other than you might know player prices by that point. I'm sure you probably will. I think my reaction when I saw these TV fixtures announced on Friday, which bizarrely came out during the Germany-Spain match, was see you in October.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that came out to me, was I'm probably looking at almost setting up almost like a dead team at the start of this to carry me through the period that we can see. And I think that probably contradicts against what a lot of people would have been thinking, because we certainly anticipate, subject to weather or unforeseen circumstances, less, you know, rearranged fixtures basically during the course of this season. Or even if those fixtures do move, in some cases they will move just from a weekend to the following midweek, so your gains are going to be less than what they'd normally be. So I think it was possibly a bit of a school of thought of, right, well, I'll use more transfers to attack at the start because I won't need so many at the end this year. But the way these fixtures have come out, I'm not sure what there is to attack massively at the start. It almost feels like the start will already be about problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've picked this player. I should have picked that player. Let me amend it. Okay, this player's got injured or suspended. Let's make a transfer. It
suspended.
Feels...
Well, red cards, I guess. I was going to say it's a bit early to pick up yellows unless you're
Paulinho's going to Bayern Munich, so it's probably not a concern.
But there are red cards, James. Don't get me wrong. So, you know, we can have suspensions, of course.
Of course, especially for players that we own. Let's cover off, I think, in the first instance, what these fixture announcements are. Just a run through from the start, basically through to September, give people an idea of the single game days, and obviously some notable bits for captaincy. Obviously, for those playing new, you can have a captain every day that there's Premier League games. So we knew the opening weekend. We're starting with Manchester United against Fulham, which feels like a meh, probably starting with a Manchester City lineup as we got last year is probably quite useful on night one. Manchester United Fulham single game day, Friday, August the 16th. The two TV selected games on Saturday, August the 17th, for Ipswich against Liverpool is the early kickoff. West Ham against Aston Villa is the 5:30. I think Aston Villa already got three 5:30s in this schedule, by the way.
Oh, wow.
On Sunday the 18th, Chelsea versus Manchester City, as expected, is the 4:30 Super Sunday game. Somewhat surprisingly, the 2 o'clock kickoff is Brentford against Crystal Palace, which does feel like a random one for an opening weekend. You do tend to find that Sky and TNT will just pick as many of the biggest clubs as they can on the opening weekend. I'm not sure what the theory is on that with Brentford Palace, because I did think, oh, maybe these two teams aren't planned to be shown for a while in future weeks. But Brentford are on the Sunday the following week as well. So it's a strange one, but that's the early kickoff. So listen, if you don't want any of Chelsea or Manchester City for that particular Sunday, you know, sure, people like Tony or Eze, if they're still with their clubs, which is an important thing to remember at this juncture, you might want to look out. There is a single game day on the Monday night, Monday the 19th. I'll be at the King Power. It's Leicester City against Tottenham. Notable others for the Saturday the 17th. Arsenal obviously host Wolves, would be one to look at from a captaincy perspective. But there's nothing in that opening weekend essentially that would move us from a captaincy too far away from the so-called big six. You could look at Newcastle at home to Southampton on the Saturday as well. This we know. What we didn't know was what would come next. And the big thing theme straight away is the lack of single game days.
Yep.
There isn't one until Monday, September the 30th. There might be another one on Sunday, September the 22nd. This is really unusual in the first 2 months of a season not to have so many Friday or Monday games. It's very strange. One of the reasons, I think, is to reschedule in the European competitions.
Yep.
And also, very importantly, in terms of the League Cup third round, the teams who aren't in Europe, you won't know yet which week they're going to play.
Right.
So the League Cup third round is spread over two midweeks. So there's a week where there's Champions League fixtures and there's a week where there's Europa League fixtures. And the League Cup third round ties will be played over those 2 weeks. So, for example, Manchester United are in Europa League will obviously play their League Cup tie on the midweek where there's Champions League games. Right. And obviously the Champions League teams will be in the opposite week. So it would make it quite awkward, for example, to put anyone on the Monday or the Friday nights around that in case any of them teams drew a team that was in Europe and then forced the change of thinking. The fixtures on the second weekend are the 12:30 kickoff is Brighton against Manchester United, and it's another 5:30 for Aston Villa. They play Arsenal. Very notable for that Saturday the 24th is that Manchester City are at home to Ipswich. So if you've got a City player and you think they're going to start that, that's probably where your captaincy is still going to go. Possibly Tottenham at home to Everton, an alternative, but realistically that's City at home to Ipswich. Sunday the 25th, Bournemouth versus Newcastle is the 2 o'clock selection, and Liverpool versus Brentford is the 4:30. So Newcastle and Liverpool both reasonable from a captaincy perspective, and so too might be Chelsea. Their fixture with Wolves is also moved to Sunday the 25th. That's because they have Conference League playoff fixtures in between match days 1 and 3. So they've got Sunday fixtures on the 25th and Sunday the 1st by movement because of their European games rather than TV selections. The final weekend in August, it's another 12:30 kickoff for Brighton, who travel to Arsenal in TNT's selection. Manchester City travel to West Ham in the 5:30 kickoff. There isn't anything from the other fixtures on that Saturday that hugely appeals. Make a case for perhaps a Villa player away to Leicester, but it probably will still be captaincy will come from Arsenal and Manchester City, I think, on that day. Sunday the 1st, as said, Chelsea's fixture with Crystal Palace, again, because European involvement will move to the Sunday. The two television selections are Newcastle against Tottenham and Manchester United and Liverpool. Those three fixtures at this moment don't have confirmed kickoff times. I suspect that's because the broadcasters and the police are probably at loggerheads, as per usual, trying to get as late a kickoff as possible for Manchester United against Liverpool. Historically, obviously, the Sunday late game is normally 4:30. Last couple of years, we've seen games involving these clubs kick off at sort of 3:30. If that's the case, I think we could expect Newcastle, Tottenham and Chelsea, Crystal Palace to both be 1 o'clock kickoffs rather than 2 o'clock. Those are confirmed as the three games on that Sunday, but the kickoff times as yet to be confirmed. Then there's an international break. Yay, joy, because we really need that again. moving on into September, the early kickoff on Saturday, 14th of September, features a Manchester United away game again, this time going to Southampton. There were two later games that day. Aston Villa again in a 5:30 at home to Everton. And Bournemouth versus Chelsea has been scheduled for an 8 o'clock kickoff. However, your captaincy that day is probably likely to be in one of the 3 o'clocks. Liverpool host Nottingham Forest, Manchester City host Brentford. There are two games on the Sunday. The 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday the 15th is the North London Derby, Tottenham against Arsenal. And the 4:30 is Newcastle's trip to Wolves. I think at this stage, that probably makes captaincy wide open for that particular day. But I guess most would probably default to an Arsenal player. And I'm sure people will have some Arsenal coverage.
I mean, looking at Newcastle, I'm thinking that Southampton home game, Bournemouth away, Wolves away, like Isak, depending on what price he comes in.
And if he's still there, which we assume he will be.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing as well. But yeah, I wouldn't put it past an Isak being interesting, because the North London Derby is always a tight game. I just think it's unpredictable in its nature because of what it is. I'd rather if I owned Isak on that day, I'd swerve the North London Derby.
I think that the Isak shout, I think, will be really popular as long as he comes through pre-season. He's obviously not been away at an international tournament. That's really helpful. It's actually conceivable that you could captain Isak in the first four games, I think. I generally think it's Southampton home on that Saturday. It's reasonable if you want. Then they play on the Sunday away to Bournemouth. You would probably prefer a Liverpool player against Brentford, but if there's some doubt about Salah or others for whatever reason, you can default to it. Similar home to Tottenham. I mean, what they scored nine goals in the last two home games against Tottenham.
Your record there isn't the best at the moment.
Well, we're slowly getting better. We've gone from 6-1 to 4-0, so I'm expecting a 3-0 next year probably. And then Wolves is a Sunday as well, the same day as the North London Derby. So yeah, I think you'll probably want some Newcastle coverage, I would suggest. Also, a little caveat on the North London derby. I don't think it can move, but I'm not quite sure I understand the reasoning at this moment, because there are Champions League fixtures the next midweek, the first set of midweek Champions League fixtures. Now, because, as I said, it splits where there's Champions League fixtures that midweek, and then Europa League will be the following midweek. The Champions League fixtures over that week are played between Tuesday and Thursday. So I don't know if there's something in place already where they've agreed with UEFA that Arsenal won't play on the Tuesday in the Champions League, but that's quite uncommon. I kind of expected this announcement to come with a caveat, but there isn't anywhere, considering they've already put in fixtures for 12:30, 5:30 and 8 o'clock, there isn't somewhere else to move it that wouldn't clash with somewhere else. So I'm assuming it's stuck, and there must be an agreement in place that Arsenal won't play on the Tuesday in the Champions League afterwards.
Right.
That I can only assume. The second weekend that we've got in September, another 12:30 kickoff for West Ham against Chelsea's TNT selection. Crystal Palace and Manchester United is the 5:30 kickoff that day. Again, captaincy, you're probably going to revert back to a 3 o'clock kickoff. You've got Villa at home to Wolves, Tottenham at home to Brentford, Liverpool at home to Bournemouth.
Even Manchester United feel like they've got a lot of TV fixtures there.
Every Manchester United game's on TV, Serge. All six.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking, you keep saying Man United are televised. Wow.
Yeah, they're the only one. All six of their games are on telly. Okay. And actually, looking at their fixtures going into October and November, I understand why. They'll get left off quite a bit in October and November, I think. And there's also probably a want to get them on into some of the prime slots. Maybe even particularly on some of the Saturday fixtures, because we're obviously going to have a lot of Sunday fixtures as the season progresses. Yeah, they're the only ones. All six of their games are on TV, and none of them are like wacky. I get it. Sunday 22nd, Manchester City versus Arsenal is the Super Sunday fixture. Your captaincy doesn't necessarily have to come from that game. Brighton versus Nottingham Forest is the 2 o'clock kickoff. So Brighton may well appeal. But interestingly, Nottingham Forest have got arguably the best set of opening three fixtures. Bournemouth at home, Southampton away, and Wolves at home. So it might even be a case to carry a Forest player going into that, possibly. I guess the pricing of the Brighton players will have a heavy influence on this. It's worth saying Brighton's start isn't the best. Everton away, United at home, Arsenal away has challenges in the same opening three versus Forest. But then Forest go to Anfield before that Brighton game. And the final weekend that we know, 12:30 kickoff on the Saturday, is Newcastle against Manchester City. The 5:30 kickoff is Wolves against Liverpool. Arsenal host Leicester in a 3 o'clock that day. So the big three from last season, if you will, all play on that Saturday. The Super Sunday on Sunday the 29th is Manchester United against Tottenham. Both of those teams have Europa League fixtures in the midweek before, but not necessarily on the Thursday. One will probably play on the Wednesday and one on the Thursday, but they've done the smart thing and moved it directly to the Sunday already. It could become a single game day fixture. That's because the 2 o'clock fixture is Ipswich against Aston Villa. And this one does have the caveat that if Aston Villa play on the following Tuesday in the Champions League, then that will move back to the 8 o'clock on the Saturday evening. The only other single game day we've got currently is Monday the 30th, is Bournemouth against Southampton. And you do not need to start with either of those teams, because it's certainly one you could argue would be skippable. I look at Bournemouth's fixtures beforehand and think, I don't necessarily want something like that unless Dominic Solanke is amazingly priced again. I'll just go and attack it as and when it comes, or skip it. But considering the amount of transfers I think I'll be using in the opening 6 weeks, I don't think it probably won't be a need to consider skipping it. They play Leicester as well the following weekend, Bournemouth. So there might be a case to even just daisy chain it into captaincy, Southampton, Leicester away, and then move it on to something else. Might even be a case.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at with fixtures. I've had a look at possible gains for a lot of the teams in terms of entry points, and none of it appeals massively. Some of the best entry days for teams, I'll give you an example. I think probably best entry day, if you wanted to reinvest into, say, Tottenham and Arsenal, is probably when they play each other in the North London derby. That doesn't feel right. And Arsenal's next fixture after that is Manchester City away.
Yep.
There isn't anything that massively stands out. I think the one team you could probably get away with not starting with, and you might want to revisit sort of in the second or third weekend, is probably Chelsea. Basically because they'd start with Manchester City, then they've got a really good run of fixtures, and their second and third weekend fixtures are obviously on the Sunday, so you can go back into it if you want to. But there's nothing there. Where there's games that are 3-for-1, such like that, where, say, Arsenal have got 3-for-1 over a number of teams, it's Tottenham away, Man City away, Leicester at home. It's not great to dive into. And a lot of the 2-for-0s don't massively appeal in terms of chaining on either. So it really does, I think, give a feeling to me of, I want to pick a team that's going to cover me. Almost like you said previously, when we used to have the overhaul at the first international break, I'm trying to pick a team that's dead.
Yep.
I think that would be the target for a lot of people here. And things that I also had in my mind, I think others would have thought this, was like, can I look at like blanket Arsenal defence this season? When you look at the fixtures at the start, Villa away is also part of their opening five. So you've got Villa away, Tottenham away, and Man City away in the opening five. We know their capability for sure, but there ain't going to be a lot of passing tiers, even if clean sheets are there. Wolves at home and Brighton at home aren't like absolute gimme home fixtures either. So that feels off the table. No one's got a great run of fixtures that makes you think, I definitely want to dive into them, or that's where the gain is, or that's where I should sell this team. A lot of them, examples would be, take Tottenham. One thing you could do as an example here is take Tottenham, the Monday night game against Leicester, home game against Everton, and then maybe make your move to Chelsea, where that becomes like an effective 3-for-1 because of your captaincy, and you're missing Chelsea in arguably the toughest game. Then you attack Chelsea from their good run, and then you're missing Tottenham away to Newcastle, home to Arsenal, and you might not want to go back for a while. So there's little things like that, but nothing stands out massively.
I would agree with you, James. Just can you hear that drilling in the background?
No, what is it?
Some geezers just started the other side of the wall, like drilling. I don't know. As long as you can't hear it,
I can't actually. No,
good.
I thought you were saying that the drilling was my voice going on and on.
No, your voice is perfectly good. There's a couple that I look at and I'm like, all right, maybe it's interesting. So, for example, when Manchester United have a game against Crystal Palace on the 21st, if you were to come off Manchester United the game before Southampton, you can get a 3-for-1 off Newcastle. Now, one of those is City, but they do have Wolves, Fulham. So would I take Wolves, Fulham, City of Newcastle to skip Crystal Palace for Manchester United? Maybe, possibly. But I might want Manchester United for captaincy thereafter. The other one I was looking at, Nottingham Forest have a great start. You can come off them and get a 3-for-1 while they go away to Liverpool with, I don't know, Crystal Palace, or even some of the bigger boys have good fixtures there, Liverpool. But then that might be one of the get players you pick for captaincy on that Sunday when Arsenal play City. So there are a few exit points, but they're not hop on, hop off. So I could see myself having a Forest player and coming off after the first 3 weeks. Or if I didn't need my Manchester United player after the first four, maybe coming off and moving it on. But I wouldn't then know whether I was coming back or where I was potentially going afterwards.
What's the other problem with Forest?
Where am I looking?
Well, they stop looking and start remembering. We all trod this path at the start of last year, didn't we? We're not in the Forest players.
Oh, in terms of, do you mean who will play?
No, in terms of, we went for, because they had the Friday game with Sheffield United, do you remember?
Right.
It was a disaster for nearly everyone.
Nico Williams time, and then we got stuck with Nico Williams because he was cheap. Yeah, I get that.
There's no requirement to have a Nottingham Forest player.
Yeah. I look at this and I think, I could get my captaincy coverage from four or five teams, get the best of those and fit in what else is there. And generally there won't need to be. Yeah, you're right in your thinking in that. Okay, whenever we say I'm logging out for 4 weeks, you know what happens. Injuries do happen. But it doesn't look like it's going to be particularly hard to navigate.
I think there are probably three definite needs in terms of picking from a particular team at the start, and they're fairly straightforward. It's Manchester United because of the opening Friday night. I do think, and look, we think Paulinho's not going to be with Fulham, and I know Fulham won at Manchester United last season. Chances are you probably do want to captain a Manchester United player that night, I think, even if you are then moving it on at some point further down the line. Perhaps, again, you could take another effective 3-for-1 over Chelsea. Captaincy against Fulham, take the Brighton game, move into Chelsea at the start of their run is a way of doing it. I think you will want a Manchester United player night one, unless you want to go with something like Bernd Leno. You go, I want to gamble that. Fulham's actual, their fixtures afterwards aren't too bad. And you go, I'm going to leave that as my keeper who regularly picks up save tiers. It's not terrible if you just want to avoid Manchester United.
Well, I was going to do the opposite and go Onana, because up until a certain point, early part of halfway through the season, he was the highest point scoring keeper in Sky, if you'll remember. So when I looked and saw that opening fixture, I thought my default Manchester United would probably end up being Onana if the prices of the others aren't particularly interesting, as opposed to Leno.
I don't want to talk about players too much because
I want people to be able to your mind as what could be the solution to
I think that's fair. I want people to be able to listen to this in a few weeks or listen back to it and not us get jumbled with players leaving. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Lisandro Martinez would be another name. I think those are two names that are very safe to say, they'll be at Manchester United next season. You're going to want Manchester City. That's a definite.
Ipswich at home, Brentford at home.
Yeah, I think
West Ham away. I've only ever seen them come and batter us when they score twos and threes and fours when they come to us. So, but that Ipswich at home, Brentford at home. Ipswich at home feels like Erling Haaland doing a five goal nonsense all over it potentially.
I think because of the way their fixtures have landed, I think they're probably for their first five fixtures. When City play, I think they're probably the best for captaincy without seeing the pricing, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's probably not till they go to Newcastle on Saturday 28th and Arsenal got Leicester at home the same day that there's a real debate to say, okay, that's the sort of one I want to take the big Norwegian on. The Norwegian's going to be hard to resist, isn't he? For similar reasons what we discussed with Isak, he's not got the major tournament problem. He's going to have a proper pre-season. So where we always have the kind of the Rodri debate, like we're recording on the day that Spain are playing France. But if Spain end up going on to win the competition, does Rodri play at Chelsea day one? But particularly considering what he said about fatigue previously, or even if he does, do they go, take Ipswich off next week? That there'll be a strong case, I think, not if Spain win this tournament, there'll be a strong case not to start with Rodri, I think. But you'll definitely want some City, and you're going to want some Tottenham because of the Monday night game against Leicester. And again, it might be you go Leicester, Everton, move it on. I think it might be a case to say if what most people will do is go one Tottenham, one Manchester United, that perhaps one or the other moves on and you keep the other one maybe, might be what many people end up doing. Realistically, you are going to want to captain a Tottenham player at Leicester on that first Monday night. Be that a Romero, a Son, whichever, if Tottenham invest, whatever that is. Those are the three. United, City and Tottenham. With Fulham being an alternative to Manchester United, I think if you want to take that on, there isn't a definitive requirement, in my opinion, to start with a Liverpool or Arsenal player.
Yeah,
it's got to be one or the other at least.
They've got some good fixtures in amongst there.
Liverpool, there's an element of the unknown because of a new manager. Arsenal's start is tough, I think it's fair to say.
Well, their home fixtures are less so. Wolves, Brighton, Leicester, I think they'll comfortably win all of those. Away fixtures, Villa, Tottenham, City are tough.
But coming back to need versus want, Liverpool go to Ipswich on that Saturday the 17th and it's the early kickoff. If you go with Mo, as an example, and he's in that team and you see it, do you want to take him on?
No,
probably not.
No.
And then when Arsenal's other good fixture lands at home to Brighton, yes, they're then the early kickoff. But City are at West Ham, so there's alternatives. You don't necessarily need an Arsenal player. You might determine that an Arsenal player is better than a Liverpool player on that first weekend. You might determine that an Arsenal player in the North London Derby is better than a Newcastle player at Wolves on 22nd of September. But I don't think there's a need from a captaincy to have an Arsenal player. I think people will want to revisit Chelsea. That's definite. And I think, as already discussed, there's a case to say, yes, Isak might end up being very popular. He very well could be. Other than that, there is no requirement for anyone else. So basically, the big seven, if you want, with apologies to the Aston Villa fans, I don't see, and Villa have got good fixtures as well, so it's absolutely fine to pick one up. But I don't see anywhere we could say now, yeah, definitive requirement for an Aston Villa player for captaincy. You could say, yes, Sunday the 29th, but we don't even know at this stage, as of September, we don't even know at this stage if that fixture will stay there or not. So Villa players, I think, will be dependent on pricing. And because of where they finished last year, we can expect some hikes, I think. So, but there isn't anything there. We go, we mentioned Forest, we mentioned a little bit of Brighton, we've used the Fulham example. You don't have to look far away here. So I think there will be a real concentration of a bit of a split between the big six / seven at the start of the season. And even in the case of, say, Liverpool, you could come back and buy it later on if you want to captain an Arsenal player on the second day.
Cool, cool. Should we rattle through some of these questions we've had in on the internet as well?
Yeah.
Because some of them might give us an idea into where people are thinking. Lewis _ SkyFF, what's happening? Lewis says, Dunk and McAllister are surely set to be among the best picks in this year's game. Is that still the case? And can we reliably predict what new management means for bonuses? I think without the specifics on price of those two, I mean, they've always been decent assets in this game. But the new managers, I mean, are they going to follow in the same playing style for both Brighton and Liverpool, do you think?
McAllister, is where he plays will be very important because he could end up playing like a 10 for Liverpool. And then, okay, that makes him a bit better offensively, but then the passing tier is not going to be there in the same way. Yeah. I don't anticipate, from the little I've read up so far on Brighton's new manager, I don't anticipate huge structural change. He's not going to come in and start being long ball football, right? So Lewis Dunk, pre-Deserby, was picking up passing tiers, etc. He's always been someone who was capable of doing it. It'd probably be more a curveball. I'd look at their first three, Everton away, United at home, Arsenal away, and I'd say, how much is there there? Yes, then it's Ipswich, but you could go and attack that for the Nottingham Forest game once you've got, which is the Sunday of the City-Arsenal game. You could go back and invest it there once you've got a few games of proper data, possibly. So certainly wouldn't look at either of those players as being essential. And I mean, to be honest, no one can be until we've seen the pricing, but I would think at this stage, like we've already identified, Isak will be popular. And if Haaland has a decent pre-season, because of little concerns about things like Rodri and the available captaincies, he's going to go in, isn't he? And then it's probably worked backwards from there. Duncan McAllister wouldn't be two players that would fall into a, I'm definitely going to have them. Their price will be important. If their price similar to last year, they're very good assets. I imagine both will probably get a little jump.
Well, Dave Hannigan's asking what your thoughts are on players who go late into the Euros. I think because if they want to use too many anyway, they're only likely to miss maybe one game and get eased back in. I think then they'll pretty much get eased back in. So I wouldn't overly worry about it. Like, I'd rather not burn a transfer than miss one fixture.
No, get that. But if you take an example of, say, Arsenal, so at the time of recording, you've had what? Raya is away with Spain. You got Saliba's away with France. Gabriel's been away with Brazil. You got Rice is away with England. Saka's away with England. Like, if Arsenal went into that first weekend, they went, yeah, do you know what? They're not coming back till the Villa game the following weekend, and they're going to miss that Wolves game. Then with what they've got, Villa, Tottenham, and Man City as three of the next four all away. Like, do you want to start with any of that? So that's quite relevant and important, isn't it? When teams are going to come back, players are going to come back. I've already used the Rodri example, where I'm already looking at it and going, I might want to jump him at the start of the season really unusually, because I know that he was fatigued at the back end of last season, and this tournament's not going to have helped from that perspective. And I can even see things where they say, look, can you play at Chelsea for us? We'll give you things like Ipswich at home or Brentford at home off. And then suddenly it doesn't look like quite such a good run. We know with him, obviously, he basically starts on 5 points, doesn't he? It's phenomenal. He's another one. It should be a big price jump this year. But I wonder if he'll start really lowly owned because of exactly that. So, yeah, definitely needs an awareness. So all it does, I think, some of them will be fine to start with and some of them won't. But what it does do, if you've got doubts, it does draw you back towards, a different example. At the time of recording, Cody Gakpo might finish as top scorer in the Euros. Right, it might draw people's attention to him. Right, you ain't going to start with him ahead of Mo Salah, irrespective of what that price is, because you know Mo's going to have had a clean pre-season with Liverpool. So your Salahs, your Haalands, your Isaks, these guys who have not been at the tournament, surely just appeal a little bit more at the start, right? If in doubt, you're going to take that sort of decision.
Wingman's talisman talk, there's Salah, Haaland, Saka, Palmer, Watkins, etc. Who is each club's player to own, regardless of budget? I don't think there is, because you mentioned there, okay, City with Haaland for sure. With Manchester United, it's not totally clear. Tottenham, who you mentioned, is the one that we'd want to start with. I don't know if you have a talisman. You'd say Son's a talisman, but that doesn't make him a better Sky pick than Romero, for example, who might have the passing tiers.
I would say it's probably Romero, yeah.
Yeah, so talisman for the team and talisman for Sky are two different things. I don't think there is necessarily at the start.
It's also pound for pound, right? So Romero won't have the same price as Son. So there's a little element of that. Like Arsenal's could end up being one of a number of players. It might not be Saka, it might be Odegaard. It might be Saliba or Gabriel. It might even end up being a Ben White or a Jurrien Timber this year, for example. So, and even actually with City, there's a case to say Rodri over Haaland. I just think there's a concern at the start. With Liverpool in this format, it's not definitely Salah, is it? If they improve defensively, it can easily be Virgil van Dijk, as we've seen historically. So on a number of them, we can't say. And certain ones you could look at, you could go, right, Bournemouth, Solanke, Brentford, Tony, Crystal Palace, Eze, or are they going to be there?
True. Exactly that.
So there's that to factor in as well. And you think that's another reason why, if Ivan Tony signed a new contract at Brentford and you go, oh, I want to captain Tony on that first Sunday, by all means, crack on, start with him. But it's another thing that would be off-putting, knowing there's a fair chance that you might start the season with them and might not finish the month with them.
Good, good. And the other questions we had in James are generally around using more transfers at the start of the season because there's going to be less rearrangements. But as we talked about, like where? Right? There's no point in using them for the sake of using them. So if there's nowhere to use them, don't panic, because there will be opportunities to open up. And there is an overhaul to be had, overhaul period, where you might want to steam into one team and then use your transfers to come out of it and that kind of thing. So I'm not for using transfers early just because we might not get the opportunity later. There will be an opportunity later.
Oh, there definitely will. I mean, there'll definitely be points in the fixtures where it'll drop where someone's got like an outstanding 3-for-1, for example. I don't see an outstanding 3-for-1 now. I don't see an outstanding 2-for-0. It might even be, like I said, the last single game day when Bournemouth play Southampton, you go in, you go, right, yeah, I want to go Dominic Solanke, captain against Southampton, Leicester away, and then move it straight on to something else. But in those first 6 weeks, I just don't see that sort of thing where it looks worthwhile for anyone, because all the best entry points for the teams have a difficult fixture afterwards. So Liverpool, Brentford at home, then Manchester United away, you'd argue. Newcastle, Bournemouth away, then maybe it's Tottenham at home. Chelsea, I think once you enter, because the way their fixtures will land, you will probably stay on if you're going to attack them from the second and third. Manchester United, arguably the time to go and buy them if you don't start with, will be when they play Liverpool. For Crystal Palace, it'll be when they play Chelsea. For Arsenal, Tottenham, when they play each other. Wolves, when they play Newcastle. None of these are good. Manchester City's actual, the first entry point, really, if you forget the first weekend, is when they play Arsenal in the fifth weekend. Like, none of these are great in terms of going and attacking teams. So I just think it's the way it's landed. And the fixtures seem really balanced. When I've looked through like the whole season, just feel really, really balanced across the board, rather than, that shit Tottenham had in April last year. Yeah. There's not a lot of that. There's a few clusters where teams have got, I noticed, City and Liverpool back-to-back in two games, but the fixtures either side are fine. It does seem a lot more balanced this year, where there's nothing you look at and go, oh my God, they've got 12 amazing fixtures there for that particular team. They're not easy to identify. That's another reason to perhaps suggest that this year patience will pay nicely for people. How many times, Luke Williams had this as an example, didn't he? Was it last year or the year before? He was like, I've used 25 transfers and 20 of them have been to cover for injuries, basically. Yeah. So, you can be really unlucky from that sort of perspective as well. The chances are we'll all make mistakes at the start, right? So, I think early thinking at this stage is probably, if you're thinking about it in your back of mind before you've got the pricing, is you don't need to reach too far here. It'll be quite straightforward at the start, and it's probably everyone needs to take a deep breath through the majority of what's left of the summer.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Just tune out now. We'll be back in about a month. We'll have prices then. We'll be ready for the season to start then. But in the meantime, yeah, by all means, have a look. But no panic and no rush, because we've got Spain against France tonight. We've got England against Netherlands tomorrow. And hopefully we've got a final to look forward to on Sunday, should England do the business as well. Let's get that out of the way. As said, well, was it Martin or David who said that?
What's that?
Let's get the Euros out of the way first.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a very fair point, because I've been telling FPL, I'm like, don't open the game till England are out. So it's a very fair point. It's just the way our schedules worked. I wasn't sure we'd be able to do this in a couple of weeks. So it's something people can listen back to, hopefully.
Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Thanks again for your ears. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Play it your way. Cue music, please. Manchild.
Fantasy Football Show.